to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Social Joey. Here is your host, Jack Munson.
Geeky days are here again as the summer evenings grow. Hi, geeks. Welcome back to Social Geek Radio. And today we're talking more food, specifically the technology behind some great restaurant brands, with Patrick Bobrukowitz of Roznet. Welcome to Social Geek Radio, Patrick.
Thank you very much for having me. It's my pleasure.
So we're going to get deep into what's happening inside and outside of restaurant brands with their technology and how that's affecting business and all kinds of great stuff. But first, let's get a little bit of background on you, Patrick. What's your story?
Yeah, I'm a restaurant guy through and through. Started off in restaurants at the ripe young age of 13 years old. I actually kind of had to lie and tell him I was 14 just so I could get that summer job.
And what was that? What was that summer job? What restaurant?
McDonald's. I mean, who doesn't start at McDonald's, right? As a young kid,
America's best first job, right?
That's absolutely right. You had to have that very first pair of roller skates that summer, and you needed to save up some money for them.
And they got you hooked into the restaurant biz.
It did. I never left. And so I did that for a couple of years, and then went and started working at Ponderosa Steakhouse, and being a broil cook there, which taught me a great skill in life is how to make a nice steak.
Yeah. Nice. And after all of that, where did you go and what led you into the technology side?
Well, that's a great question. So I finished my degree in accounting, and I left the restaurant field after working at Applebee's for about 4 years, and went to go work at their corporate office. And I used that accounting degree for just long enough to know that I didn't want to be an accountant.
Yeah.
And so then moving over, we had a department called Operations Excellence, and the department was really focused on IT support for restaurant companies, and specifically for the field operators. It's very field operations focused, and there I managed the some of the point of sale platform and the configurations, the kitchen display systems, as well as the food and inventory platform. So a lot of things that, you know, we even work with today, you know, here at Roznet, you know, I got indoctrinated into all of the things that are restaurant IT at a very young age. I think I was 22 or something like that at the time.
Wow. And I'm sure things have changed quite a bit technology wise behind the scenes since then.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You had some of the old systems. I mean, restaurants were still running DOS-based point of sales and things like that. You know, back when I was just starting on that front, and everyone was worried about getting up to a Windows platform and being able to run on this awesome new platform called Windows XP.
Yeah, well, you better be careful when you get that Windows stuff installed inside a business, because someone might start playing solitaire on it, right?
Absolutely. There were ways to shut down the application and go back to the desktop. You just had to know how to tap on the screen to get it back down.
There you go. And you were the guy that that everybody else in the restaurant could tap into to help them with that, I'm sure.
Exactly. I knew a trick or two, that's for sure. And so I did that for a long time at Applebee's, right up until around the time where there was a merger with IHOP and DineEquity, and I knew that there was some, you know, from the leadership team, that there was some direction to kind of jettison the restaurants and be more of a, you know, marketing and franchisor company. And that's where I said, hey, you know, I think that this is still a very, very, very viable, you know, sector to be in. I just may need to be in with a company who's using that as their revenue source, as opposed to, you know, it being a cost center, which is what a lot of restaurant companies have. Their IT group is not a profit center for them. It's a cost center, which, you know, as we get into the rest of the conversation, I'll make some arguments for how IT is becoming your new marketing.
Okay, let's get into that. So let's start with some challenges first. So tell me about some challenges that some of these larger scale, enterprise scale restaurants, franchise systems, and other types of chains, what are some of the challenges that they're facing these days, and how does your technology help?
Yeah, so there's really three, kind of major pillars or areas of change that are going on right now. So there's everything that is in what I'll call kind of guest facing. There's everything that's inside of, your day-to-day operations bucket and systems that they're using there. And then now there's this large push for data and insight into restaurants and actually utilizing information at a large level. So if we attack them in those three pillars, with the first one being guest facing to start off with, right now, mobile and mobile ordering, online ordering, and turning all of that from the past 2 or 3 years into now delivery, everyone is chasing for what is that next thing? Is it DoorDash? Is it Uber Eats? Is it Olo, Rails? What sort of package are they, going to use to get all this information, fed into the restaurants? Right now, you have restaurants that are sitting out there with 6, 8, 10 different tablets from different, providers, and they have their servers or their bartenders or their to-go staff just sending their keying in orders back into their point-of-sale platform because the technology on the guest-facing side is rapidly eclipsing anything that's available inside of the point-of-sale platform. Mm. So there's no time to get them all integrated. They just, the next one pops up, it can be Patrick's delivery service and all of a sudden I'm funded by, Amazon for $300 million or something along those lines. And I'm running the entire West Coast of the country. You wanted to have this integrated, but you can't wait to go call a point of sale company, NCR, Micros, any of these larger companies and just assume them to stop everything they're doing, build an integration with this company and then go. So right now, finding ways to integrate all of that information from all the tablets and everything that are coming through online orders, mobile apps, all of that, getting ways to integrate that back into your point of sale platform is probably the biggest single challenge that from a guest facing side, I think that most of the restaurant companies are facing.
Recently, I've been seeing just how much mobile ordering is going on with all types of restaurants. And do you really see that this is sort of the future for all types of restaurants?
Yeah, if you look at the through polls, right? If you look at the engagement level from some of the younger, and I'm not going to get too stereotypical or stereotyping here, with millennials specifically, but if you look at the younger, especially the younger path of the millennials, and even kids that are coming up behind them now, they don't want to be as engaged. They've spent the majority of their life behind a phone, behind a screen, right? They don't care to go to the restaurant, sit down, and have as much of a service model as someone even just my age and older than me, where there's still that, hey, I want to be taken care of as part of it. I want some level of service for them. In a lot of cases, it's just hey, if I can be here at my house and enjoy my life and what I'm doing, and then all of a sudden this really great food shows up at my door, well, I'm winning.
Yeah,
I get my time back.
Yeah, I see that too. That there's not. In the future, there won't be the restaurant experience, the way that we've always known and what we grew up with. But I think that also means that there's a lot more opportunity out there for so many more brands, right?
Oh, they're totally are. We have a client that's based in Atlanta, and at one point they had 12 locations open, and the locations probably averaged $65,000-$75,000 a week in sales. They decided to launch the Uber Eats platform within their company, and they dubbed Uber Eats their 13th store with no additional brick and mortar. They started doing another $75,000 a week in sales.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It absolutely is.
So let's get into some of the other pillars too. I think one of them was looking at data on an internal side, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you have your internal, systems, your operations systems, things like that. And that's where a company like Rosnet, where I'm, at currently, that's where we focus, right? That's a big push in that space is optimizing the day-to-day operations. That can be through some things like data, real-time alerting. So real-time data out of point of sale platforms, but not just not just throwing data all over the place. You don't want to inundate people with, you know, data that doesn't mean anything to them. So you have to basically first come up with, you know, some of your profiles of users. I'm a restaurant manager. What are the things that I need to know? I'm an area director over the restaurants. I'm a director of operations that's over a number of area directors or something along those lines. They all have different needs. So making sure that they have, whether they're responsive dashboards, real-time data from the restaurants, various alerts inside of the systems, things like that, and pushing all of that information over into mobile devices. Because today, if the very first question you ask isn't, can they do it on a phone, you've already failed, because most people are wanting to do it on a phone.
Yeah, yeah. Now, usually when we talk about optimization and making things more efficient, that leads me to think we're talking about reducing costs and cutting expenses on the operation side. But you make an argument that this is actually good for marketing and increasing sales, correct?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, everyone's focused on the ROI. They're absolutely right. And since a manager, by and large, I know some of the labor laws are changing this, but by and large, since your managers are salaried, they have kind of been viewed in the past as a fixed cost to the restaurant, right? Giving them an hour back in their day didn't really net you any dollars on the bottom line.
Yeah, it was one hour worth of labor that you got back. Great.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I think if as leadership, you know, in the restaurant companies, if they start to look at what I'll call an ROA instead of an ROI, and that's your return on attention. So if you get that hour back from that manager, that is an additional hour that they could spend either doing local store marketing, building, you know, sales paths with, you know, schools and different events like that, charitable events inside of their areas, working with their staff on, you know, suggestive selling and different things that they can do from a marketing perspective. You absolutely, absolutely can see, you know, an ROI on it by giving them that time back, right? But you have to be willing to say, hey, I'm going to invest in the technology with the intent of returning the time. And it doesn't even have to be a dollar spend on the technology. In some cases, you know, with many of our platforms, we upgrade them, but they do take, you have to roll them out. You have to train the field, and there's a cost associated with that time-wise, but you have to believe on the back end that if they can now enter, you know, let's say enter an invoice in, you know, 30, 45 less seconds because the screen is this much easier to use, and they enter 20 of them a week, and I have 500 restaurants in hours. Like that's a lot of hours, and it adds up very quickly.
Yeah, 500 hours here, 500 hours there. Now we're talking about some real time. So, and I love that phrase, return on attention. Be careful, Patrick. You're starting to sound like a marketing guy.
I am the director of business development here, Ross.
but that might be
something I'm supposed to do.
That's so perfect because you know the return on investment phrase is. Well, we won't go down that road, but let's say I think we're all kind of done with it at this point.
No one wants the corporation to be strictly dollar focused. We're people focused these days.
Yeah, exactly. So, is there another pillar that we need to?
There is. Okay. There is, and that's the data. So, restaurants have historically been data rich and insight poor. And that is just strictly because everyone has been used to looking at crosstab reports. We all kind of grew up in the restaurant industry with your reports. You printed off your 8 or 10 reports every day. You had them in your little clipboard. You kept them with you. You flipped through them. You marked up, you know, where you thought you could have improved or done something different. You worked with your management teams on them, stuff like that. They've always had a ton of data. But no one, I say no one, that's probably unfair. Not very many groups have really adapted to taking the data and gaining insight into behavioral, you know, issues inside of restaurants or data associations. And so that's where like a lot of the newer platforms that we're developing and things that I think people in the restaurant industry as a whole are trying to get to is simply insight. It's not data anymore. I need insight that will make me arrive at an action. And that can be taking data from, you know, a multitude of different systems. So it may be, hey, I know I've always had my sales data from the point of sale system. I've always had that available to me. I've always had that available, maybe even above store. you know, I can see all the data aggregated. But what did they say about me on Facebook the other day? Well, I don't know. I need to go look at that somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Well, how's my four-wall profit? Well, that's setting in our accounting system. That's not in any of these other tools. Well, if you cross the three of them in kind of a parallel, there's probably some associations. Can you arrive at them, though, without a lot of man hours trying to figure it out? Or can you find a platform that can help you figure that out more easily? So my suggestion there is, or my thought is, well, if everyone on Facebook says yummy margaritas, right? And the thing that you're going to search for is margaritas. And they're in particular, you know, zip codes that you can pass through a Facebook API. And the word map there, if you're envisioning this in your head, the word map there says yummy right in the middle. That's the biggest one. Right now, imagine if you looked at the locations that were inside of that zip code and look at their profitability, right? And now if they have higher profitability and you have yummy margaritas and high profitability in a particular area, well, now let's give that a litmus test here and say, all right, well, what if I look at a different market and it says horrible, like that's the word map, and mm-hmm. you have no profit in those locations. And now you're crossing these various systems. Now you've gained some insight that, hey, when we have yummy margaritas instead of horrible margaritas, our stores are more profitable. Now, is that causation? Maybe, maybe not. It could just be, you know, that there's a data correlation, and the restaurants just in general run better. They make yummier margaritas and they're more profitable. But you're using those multiple data sources to combine with the sales information from, you know, the point of sale platform in one package. And now you can kind of take all of that in without spending an inordinate amount of man hours just to go figure out this one data association.
Yeah. And one little point that you made there could change an entire brand nationwide, you know,
from now on,
it's nothing but yummy margaritas. So, and I'm all for that.
That's right. That's right. And then we're yummy profits at the end too.
Yummy margaritas equal yummy profits. I think that could be our new tagline for one of your customers. So in the few minutes that we have left, let's talk some trends and maybe some future trends. Is there anything coming down the pike that you really want to, you know, sort of warn any large brands or franchise systems or multi-location restaurants? Is there anything that they should be looking out for in the rest of 2018?
Oh yeah. Going through, over the next couple of years, labor with the multitude of different, labor laws that are changing in different municipalities, cities breaking off from state regulations and setting their own stricter regulations, things like that. I mean, they're just going to continue to change. And at least at this point, what we're seeing, because we get, you know, the notifications from across the entire country in different areas, those are just going to continue. Those are going to continue to take place. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. You're going to see different municipalities putting up, you know, rather, and it's not just the minimum wage things. It's the compliant scheduling. There's what they're calling consensual scheduling. And they're really getting into the people side of it. And, you know, that's where we're adjusting, you know, things inside of our system that will make that better. It's not just the old school mentality of I made the schedule, you'll show up for it. Now it's going back in like our StaffLink application and asking the employee, hey, did you like the schedule that your manager made for you? Because now there's maybe an additional correlation that, guess what? Locations that have employees who enjoy their schedules from their managers have lower turnover.
Lower turnover
is worth something.
And more profitability along with the yummy margaritas. What could go wrong, right?
Exactly.
We are talking to Patrick Bobrukowitz of Rosnet. And Patrick, we're going to come back in just a sec with some final thoughts on what's coming up next for Rosnet. But first, a message that today's episode has been brought to you by Franchise Dictionary Magazine. The August issue is out now, focusing on fitness franchises. And I think the September issue, coming up in just about a month, is going to focus on food. So we'll all want to check that out. You can check out today's issue right now at FranchiseDictionaryMagazine.com. That's FranchiseDictionaryMagazine.com. Okay, Patrick, in the few minutes we have left, what's coming up next? And where can people learn a little bit more about what you're doing and maybe follow up with you with some additional questions?
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to hop back in on that. So our annual user group meeting is August 22nd through 25th here in Kansas City. We've kind of decided this year we'll take it back to where it all began. The largest thing that we're going to be talking about this year is absolutely data and the yummy margarita package I have actually as an example that we'll use on stage.
Awesome.
To talk about. Absolutely, because we have a new platform that we've launched called Intelligent Analytics. We are launching that for all of our clients. They can opt in to purchase that. And we have probably about 300 or so different brands that'll be represented at our annual user group meeting. And we're excited to launch that platform. The whole point of it really is taking for restaurant companies where they don't have to go build an entire BI stack themselves. They're too costly. They're too hard to maintain. There's a million reasons why, but the big exciting thing is that we're going to offer it as an extension of our Rossnet software package.
Cool. And where can people find out about this event and other Rossnet happenings?
Rossnet.com is the easiest way. There's contact forms inside of there. Our number is 816-746-4100. You can call in and learn more. We actually have people here 24/7, 365 as part of our live client services team to support all of our end users. And so we've literally gotten people that will call us asking about the products at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. They're surprised someone answers the phone.
There you go. What a concept, having someone answer the phone. There you go. Patrick,
right.
Thanks so much for joining Social Geek Radio today. And I may show up at your conference if there are going to be some yummy margaritas and I'm sure some barbecue. Kansas City. So
there'll be plenty of all of that.
You bet. Thank you so much for joining and good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2018 Social Geek Radio.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.